As we read scripture, we know that God is always supplying our hunger. Matthew chapter 5, verse 6 says, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled." And Luke 6:21, "Blessed are you who hunger now, for you will be satisfied. Blessed are you who weep for now, for you will laugh." And John 6:35, "Then just Jesus declared, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will never go hungry, and he who believes in me will never be thirsty." Revelation 7, verse 16, "Never again will they hunger, never again will they thirst. The sun will not beat upon them, nor any scorching heat. For the Lamb at the center of the throne will be their shepherd. He will lead them to springs of living water. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes." And many of our sermons, songs, and prayers are filled with references to this human hunger for the things of God. This is good, but it is not the whole picture given in Scripture. Isaiah's song tells of Jehovah's vineyard, which is obviously Israel. Verse 7 of chapter 5, for instance, we read, "For the vineyard of the Lord of hosts is the house of Israel, and the men of Judah are his pleasant planting." And now this song reviews symbolically five things God had done for the vineyard of Israel. First of all, he fenced it. A vineyard is a plot of ground separated from common field and pasture in order to be improved with cultivation so that its grapes may yield a generous amount of juice. Israel was chosen out of the rest of the world so they could worship God according to the laws and rules he revealed, and therefore live a purer lifestyle than other nations, distinguished by peculiar laws, statutes, observances, diet and dress code and conversation, so on and so forth. Now, if they had not thrown down the fence God made, no inroad could have been made upon them by their enemies. God's miraculous protection of Israel was supplied in a major part by this fence. It was impossible for them to remain Jews and company freely with the rest of the world. These would not go together. Secondly, he gathered out the stones thereof. God cast out the ancient inhabitants of Canaan to make room for the children of Israel. He cast out their idols and destroyed their temples so that Israel would have no stumbling blocks left in their way and would wholly worship God and turn to him. And thirdly, he planted it with the choicest vine. God planted in Israel the choicest vine of true worship and a form of government that he had revealed to them from heaven. He made excellent provision for instruction of his people about how to worship him, how to serve him, how to please him. And then he built a tower in the midst thereof. And the tower of the vineyard was used to guard and defend against thieves and beasts, and it was a place where the owner could dwell. And for Israel, this was the temple where God's presence dwelled, and their sincere observance of God's commands kept them from being corrupted by those around them. As we know, there is a succinct summary of those commands etched on two tables of stone by God's own finger. And we as a church this morning, we're going to read it together as found in Exodus chapter 20, verses 1 to 17. Let us do that together, shall we? "And God spoke all these words, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself an idol in the form of anything in heaven above, or on the earth beneath, or in the waters below. You shall not bow down to them or worship them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, punishing the children for the sin of the fathers to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me, but showing love to 1,000 generations of those who love me and keep my commandments. You shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God, for the Lord will not hold anyone guiltless who misuses his name. Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, neither you nor your son or daughter, nor your manservant or maidservant, nor your animals, nor the alien within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them. But he rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. Honor your father and your mother, so that you may live long in the land the Lord your God is giving you. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not give false testimony against your neighbor. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife, or his manservant, or maidservant, his ox or donkey, or anything that belongs to your neighbor. Grapes were brought to the wine press and squeezed in a top trough so that their juice ran down to the lower trough. And for Israel, this was the altar where sacrifices were to be offered and blood shed. After all of his efforts, God looks for grapes to eat. He's hungry for some return on his investment. But all Israel produces is wild grapes, something that does not satisfy God's appetite. And the Hebrew expresses a fruit that is offensive or putrid. And the Arabs would translate this as wolf grapes, and we would say stink berries. It was an often poisonous, inedible fruit. In other words, the uncultivated natural state could produce as good a product as this. And as a result, God removed his hand from Israel and allowed them to retreat in the twin evils of ritualism and worldliness. Verses 5 and 6 we read, "Now I will tell you what I will do to my vineyard. I will remove its hedge and it shall be devoured. It will break down its wall and it shall be trampled down. And verse 6, I will make it a waste. It shall not be pruned or hoed, and briars and thorns shall grow up. I will also command the clouds that they rain not upon it." This is a warning that we need to heed, because all scripture is profitable for us. 1 Corinthians 10:11 says these things happened to them as an examples, and were written down as warnings for us, on whom the fulfillment of the ages has come. And Paul again in Romans 11 verse 19 says, "You will say then, branches were broken off so that I could be grafted in. Granted, but they were broken off because of unbelief. And you stand by faith. Do not be arrogant, but be afraid. For if God did not spare the natural branches, he will not spare you either." The church is also God's vineyard. He has done great things for us. He has fenced it with his word. And the fence was not built to keep the vine in, but to keep danger out. Psalm 40 verse 8, "I desire to do your will, O my God. Your law is within my heart." God's law is in our hearts, but it is not concealed there. Psalm 40:10 says, I do not hide your righteousness in my heart. I speak of your faithfulness and salvation. I do not conceal your love and your truth from the great assembly. As he gathered out the stones thereof, his blood, God has rolled away the huge boulders of sin that we could not move. Genesis 29:3 says, the stone rolled away from the well. In Joshua 5:9, the reproach of Egypt rolled away. The Hebrew word galal, roll, later derivatives words such as Galilee and Golgotha. In other words, a Galilean died on Golgotha and my sins were rolled away. He planted it with the choicest vine, which is his love. John 15:1, I am the true vine and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will even be more fruitful. So God purges good branches. His love doesn't mean it will always be pleasant. Some people have no problems but don't realize they have already been taken away. Now he built a tower in the midst of it, which is his name. Proverbs 18:10, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run to it and are safe. Now all the Old Testament covenant names of God are wrapped up in Jesus, as we know. Names such as Jehovah Tsikanu, which means Jehovah Ha'o Righteousness, or Jehovah Rophe, which is Jehovah Heals, Jehovah Makadesh, which means Jehovah who sanctifies, Jehovah Jireh, we know that one, Jehovah the Provider, Jehovah Shalom, Jehovah is Peace, Jehovah Rohi, Jehovah my Shepherd, Jehovah Shammah, Jehovah is There, Jehovah Nissi, Jehovah my Banner, or my Miracle. He also made a wine press therein, that is his spirit. Ephesians 5:18 says, do not get drunk on wine which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the spirit. Romans 14:17, for the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Now we know that grape is produced when there's pressure that is put on it, on the grapes, then we have the wine comes out of the pressed grapes. What are we when the squeeze is on? Now God looks for his church to bring forth fruit, but we can be guilty of bringing forth only wild grapes. Fruit of a corrupt nature that can be produced by men without God. Fruit which looks like regular grapes but does not taste like them. God is hungry for some fruit from his vineyard. Isaiah 4:5-4 says, what more was there to do for my vineyard that I have not done in it? When I looked for it to yield grapes, why did it yield wild grapes? In other words, God is saying, well, I've given you everything you need. What more could I do for you? When God gets hungry, he looks for a sacrifice from his people, just as he did with the Old Testament offerings, a sacrifice of thanksgiving. Psalm 116:17, I will sacrifice a thank offering to you and call on the name of the Lord. When God gets angry, he's looking for a sacrifice of joy. Psalm 27:6, then my head will be exalted above the enemies who surrounded me. At his tabernacle will I sacrifice with shouts of joy. I will sing and make music to the Lord. and God gets hungry. He is looking for a sacrifice of praise. Hebrews 13 verse 15. Through Jesus, therefore, let us continually offer to God a sacrifice of praise, the fruit of lips that confess His name. And do not forget to do good and to share with others, for with such sacrifices God is pleased. And when God gets hungry, He's looking for a sacrifice of righteousness. Psalm 4 verse 5. Offer right sacrifices and trust in the Lord. When God gets hungry, He is looking for sacrifice of obedience. 1 Samuel 15:22. But Samuel replied, "Does the Lord delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as much as in obeying the voice of the Lord? To obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed is better than the fat of rams." When God gets hungry, He's looking for a sacrifice of a broken spirit. Psalm 51 verse 17. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit. A broken and contrite heart, O God, You will not despise. And finally, when God is hungry, He is looking for a sacrifice of lifted hands. Psalm 141 verse 2. May my prayer be set before You like incense. May the lifting up of my hands be like the evening sacrifice. These are the things that satisfy God's hunger. Amen.